Evans and Sasha Pick as Judy Garland in a play by Humphrey Carpenter, Over the Rainbow.
Nice. Two coffees, one plate of crackers.
Hey, don't go touching that piano, mister. They need it for the broadcast.
I know that.
A nationwide hookup. Live on national radio and all from this hotel. And there's a famous orchestra making the broadcast. The Paul Whiteman Orchestra.
Friend, you'd make a good billboard.
Didn't I tell you not to touch, mister? They need it for the broadcast.
Yes, they do.
You're a piano player?
That's the delusion my piano teacher is
doing. You play in the Paul Whiteman Orchestra?
Oh, not me.
So, why do they need you for the broadcast?
Stick around, you'll find out.
Well, that's a big pile of music you got there, mister. And it's got Metro Goldwyn Mayer stamped all over it.
Why, so it has.
But you work at Metro Goldwyn Mayer?
That's what it says on my paycheck.
Metro Goldwyn Mayer? More stars than there are in heaven.
And more ships than there are in hell. Where is she? Where in blazes is she?
You know some of the stars, mister? Clark Gable? Mickey Rooney?
Bosom buddies, pal.
Jackie Cooper? Judy Garland?
Yep.
Judy Garland. Hey, this music has got a name on it. She's not here tonight.
She's supposed to be.
Judy Garland at the Arrowhead Springs Hotel. You rehearsing with her, mister? She'll be along here now?
I greatly doubt it. She was due to be along here 3 hours ago.
I brought two hot lunches up. Two beef stroganoffs. That's what they gave me in the kitchen. For the piano player and the lady, they said. So one of them is for...
Might as well eat it up yourself, kid. Even if she was here, she doesn't like beef stroganoff. She doesn't like most things. She's on a diet.
You know about her? You work with her?
8 years.
But you her personal piano player?
I write for her, too.
What's your name?
Roger Edens.
Roger Edens. Never heard of you. You write that stuff you got on the piano?
Some of it. Not the big numbers. They get the big name songwriters for those. I do the fill-ins.
Huh?
The extra verses, the little bits that just tailor the songs for her.
Well, don't you want to be famous?
Famous. I've watched her become famous. I played a part in that, and I'm proud of what she's become. At least I'm proud of some of it.
And she doesn't bother to show up to rehearse with you?
Pal, if you want somebody who's going to be on time like a good little girl, get Shirley Temple. Judy's usually late. But the minute she arrives, she'll be the best damn thing since they invented the internal combustion. Jesus, the way she sings these days. It's like a piano. Touch a particular key and you get a pure note of emotion. I've never met anybody in my life who could pick up a routine so quick, like a Hoover. You play something to her and she sings it back right the way you did. She eats up music like a vacuum cleaner.
A Hoover?
Oh, Judy, where did you spring from?
Miss...
A vacuum cleaner? Am I the upright model you can wheel about the living room, but you can't get it upstairs without a struggle? Or the kind that lies on the carpet giving out low moans?
How you doing, Judy? Good to see you at last. We got work to do.
Mr. Garland, I have a hot lunch waiting right here for you. Beef stroganoff, Miss Garland.
Why, thank you.
Judy, you don't like beef stroganoff. You don't have it in your diet.
My new doctor says I should eat what I like.
I didn't know that.
Buster, there's a lot about me you don't know.
May I pour you some wine, Miss Garland?
Hey, you, scram. We got work to do.
Yes, sir.
Such a... I'm in love again.
Uh-huh. Who's the victim this time?
Monster. It won't be like that this time. This is the real thing. I haven't slept one night in 14. Do you want to know his name?
Not really. Let's get to work.
I don't think he loves me. What am I going to do?
Just sing. For the broadcast, but you'll know most of the stuff.
Oh, I forgot it was radio. I hate radio.
Well, we'll run through the numbers you know first. You remember Our Love Affair?
No, but you can jog my memory.
Oh.
Was it when we were terribly young and terribly, terribly innocent?
Oh, can it, Judy?
Here's the verse. The verse is what I like.
Okay.
This lovely thing that's so marvelous. But right from here, the future looks awfully good.
You liked it when I wrote it, Judy.
Anyway, I can't sing tonight. I sound like a whiskey tenor. Maybe this will help.
Hey, lay off that stuff, Judy. You've got a live radio show to do tonight.
Oh.
Well, how about singing Nobody instead, huh?
I don't know any song called Nobody.
Yes, you do. I wrote it for you in Strike Up the Band. Romeo. I wrote that too, Judy. I wrote that tune.
You know, Lancaster, my old hometown.
You did, Judy.
This is near Lancaster?
Not so far.
That's why it feels so funny. It must be one of the places I worked with Ma and my sisters. What's the name?
The Arrowhead Springs Hotel.
I recognize it now. God, it was crummy. It was the place where they threw food. We were singing When the Butterflies Kiss the Flowers Goodnight, and my sister Jimmy was kissed by a cheese and salami sandwich. Oh, no, it wasn't that place. It was the hotel where my ma had to threaten the manager with a lawsuit because he wouldn't pay us. And he told her to lay off or she'd find herself at the bottom of the lake. Is there a lake here?
Oh, take a look out there.
Yeah. Well, you're all right. I'm not singing here.
Judy, it's under new management.
The way they treated us. No, I know. This is the place where the guy came up to me and said, I've just lost $3,000 at the gaming table. And then I heard you sing Over the Rainbow. And I said to myself, brother, I'm even. Wasn't that great?
Yeah. You always sing that song like you're never going to sing it again.
What do you think how Mr. Mayor wanted to cut Rainbow out of Oz? Get rid of that song. I don't want the little fat girl singing the song about the weather.
That's not true, Judy. By the time of Oz, Mayor knew your value.
It was always the little fat girl.
Judy, the band will be here in half an hour.
The little fat girl. So they put me on those diet pills. What was I, 15, 14? And they were thrusting those things down my throat.
Judy, I was there. No one made you take anything you didn't want to take. It was you that asked for those pills to help you diet.
If it wasn't Mayor, it must have been my mother.
Here we go.
She's been trying to get at my earnings again. Her and that awful man. She married him on the anniversary of Daddy's death. How could she?
It was her birthday, too. Why shouldn't she get married on her birthday, huh? Judy, we gotta rehearse. You could sing Over the Rainbow tonight, you know.
Somebody showed me a cutting from the New York Times. There was a man hanged himself to that record. They found it still spinning with the needle on it. That was the last sound he ever heard. Why, oh, why can't I? And why can't I? Why does it all have to be like this?
None of us can, Judy. You ought to know that by now.
I'm not going to face up to anything. Not me. You know a song called Blues in the Night?
Sure.
Let's do it tonight.
But I don't have it orchestrated. And besides, they want happy songs.
Oh, come on.
My mama done told me when I was in pigtail. My mama done told me, hark, a man's gonna sweet talk and give you for pink eyes. But when the sweet talk is done, a man is a two-faced, a worrisome thing who leaves to sing the blues in the night. Now the rain is falling, hear the train a calling. Back, open back the blues in the night. My mommy was right. There's blues in the night.
That great Roger.
Gee.
That's a true song.
Yeah. All those lonesome train whistles telling you there's someplace else you can go.
Somewhere where there isn't any trouble. Behind the moon. Beyond the rain.
Yeah. But I've taken some of those night trains, Judy. and I found that everywhere is the same. Same problems, the same mess. Why run away? There's nowhere to run to.
There has to be. There has to be.
All right, maybe for you there is. You're young. How old are you? 18?
I'm 21.
Well, you've got time on your side. Maybe you'll find what you want. And if you do, give me the address, huh?
I don't need you to lecture me about life. I've seen more of it than you have.
Well, that's true enough. Even at the age of 12, you sang like a woman with a heart that had been hurt. When you arrived at MGM, no one knew what to do with a 12-year-old who sang like that.
A 12-year-old girl was a concept they didn't recognize at Metro. You either had to be a munchkin or 18. There was no in-between.
Not till I invented the idea.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the good ones you wrote. 15,000 times a day, I hear a voice within me say, hide yourself behind a screen. You shouldn't be heard, you shouldn't be seen. You're just an awful
in-between. You were both halves at once.
I don't get you.
Well, the studio wanted you to stay a kid so they could go on making kid pictures with you and Mickey Rooney. The moment you realized that was their game, you ran off and tried to behave like an adult. All those affairs. Please. And then you married somebody you'd known for about 5 minutes. No one ever let you grow up naturally.
Who says I'm not grown up? Life magazine has me on its cover next week with an interview. Oh, Roger. The interview. I'm doing it tomorrow. I'm so nervous. What am I going to tell them?
You could have a shot at the truth.
Would they print the truth? Like how my mom tried to abort me before I was born? She must have rolled down 19,000 flights of stairs, jumped off tables, done terrible things to herself to get rid of me.
Judy, you know that isn't true.
They never wanted me. They christened me Francis because they wanted a boy after having two girls. And they were going to call him Frank after my daddy. What kind of a name is Francis?
It's a good name. They wanted you, Judy.
My mom only wanted me so she could use me as a weapon against my daddy. She used to snatch me out of bed at night and drive me away in the car just to frighten him.
That was because you had hay fever and couldn't sleep.
She was the Wicked Witch of the West.
No, she wasn't. She didn't know what had hit her when you climbed out of the cradle.
She was in league with Mayer, keeping me on the studio treadmill so she could make her fortune.
You know, she hasn't done that, Judy. She hasn't made any fortune.
That's why I married Dave in such a hurry, to get away from her. And now I'm divorced, I'm not giving control of my life back to her.
She never tried to take control. She was just like all those other stage mothers at the auditions. You could see from their faces the kind of lives they had, the drunken husbands.
Dad didn't drink. I wish that had been his trouble.
The need to live through their kids.
All those boys sneaking up to me and my sisters in the street. You're Mr. Gum's kids, aren't you? Sticky by name and sticky by nature. You let Frank Gum put his hand in your pocket and he'll give you a free ticket to his movie theater. It was them that killed him. but they're whispers.
Not really, Judy. There wasn't going to be any real trouble. Nothing that small-town life couldn't take care of. What killed him was that nobody needed him anymore. Least of all you. He'd worked to get you there, and now you'd arrived, you'd done with him. I'm sorry to say this, Judy, but it's the way you've treated everyone who's helped you.
Like you?
Like me. Only I don't throw aside so easy. I come with the studio, and while you're under contract, you got me.
So what did you ever do for me? I was the way I am before you ever met me.
Oh, yeah? Little Miss Leather Lungs, screaming the place down because you've never been near a microphone? Wonderful sense of pitch, wonderful sense of rhythm, wonderful voice. No idea how to use it. I taught you everything. I taught you how to sing a lyric as if you meant it. I taught you how to feel a song. I found the right material for you, and when it didn't exist, I wrote it. I created the image the world knows as Judy Garland.
So, isn't it strange that I don't recall a thing about it?
You don't? You don't recall crying all night after watching Deanna Durbin in Three Smart Girls because your old pal had become a star and your own career hadn't even begun? You don't recall coming to me the next day, still weeping and demanding that I beg Mayer to give you a major role?
All that terrible swing.
What are you talking about?
Those swing arrangements you kept writing for me. All that swinging, the classics, the spirituals, they were terrible.
I gave up all that pretty quick. And they were not terrible. That swing low was pretty good.
Yeah, that was okay. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me. Show. And my old Kentucky home is a fresh out home, way down south in Dixie's spring. Oh, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Oh, we come from the south, from the deep, deep south, where the fields of cotton just lie in blood, and my father got killed in a whiskey fight. Mama Alabama Mary plays bridge all night, way down south in Dixie's swing. Oh, sweet chariot, come on, come on, come on to carry me home.
Hey, what a memory you've got.
Come from the south, got the south in my mouth. On the top cap, got a new routine. He's riding around in a limousine while Simon Legree shakes his tambourine. Way down south in Dixie's swing. Oh, sweet chariot, swing low, sweet chariot. Listen here, you all, let me speak. Don't you know the Swanee River is a side of the creek? Come on and carry me home. Da da, da da, ho, ho.
Judy, that's fantastic. We could...
Did you mention that on the radio show? No, sir. That stuff didn't work for me as a kid, and it won't work now.
So what do you want to do, for Christ's sake? Dear Mr. Gable?
That thing.
Well, it's what made you. Don't knock it.
I don't know anything to that.
You really have forgotten, haven't you? You were still crying that day, and you demanded the mayor give you a major role, and I said... Judy, this swing stuff isn't going to work. We've got to change you from a hat singer into something else. And you gave me an hour to come up with something new while you had lunch. 1 hour. But I managed it. I wrote it in the lunch hour.
A sweet little serenade.
A new Judy Garland was born that day.
It's about time she died again. Dear Mr. Gable, I am writing this to you, and I hope that you'll read it so you'll know. If you invented that, Judy Garland, I don't owe you any thanks, brother. That wasn't even an in-between. That was just a pie-eyed, soggy little creature without an atom's resemblance to me.
Oh, you never had crushes on anyone like the way you sang to Gable in that song?
I can't stand Gable. He's a pansy.
That never stopped you. Every single man you run after should be wearing lipstick, and they're all old enough to be your father. I suppose that's it.
You sound like my psychiatrist.
They're sending you to a psychiatrist?
Quite a few, actually. And I tell each of them a different story. But I hate the way you claim to have invented me. Everyone thinks they own me. I don't want to be everyone's Judy Garland. I want to be me.
It's too late for that, Judy. You're a national symbol. Not just little Dorothy, but the all-American girl next door. What about doing that song?
What? Oh, The Boy Next Door?
Mm.
Oh, that's just another of those in-between songs. I'm done with them.
Well, you've got to sing something from the new movie. They'll insist on it.
The Charlie song. I don't mind that.
I know. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. It'll be Christmas soon. They'll really want that.
I don't want to sing that.
You just can't keep on picking and choosing, Judy.
Okay. But I hated doing it in the movie.
But you looked great. All in shadow with your arm around the kid.
That was the trouble.
But she was a sweet little kid.
You know what they did to me last year, Roger?
What do you mean?
I was going to have a kid. But the studio said no. And Dave agreed.
Oh, my God. Judy, I...
Mayor himself gave the order. He said, we can't let that baby have a child.
Wait a minute. Mayor said that, all right, yeah, but it was about you having a baby in little Nellie Kelly. He thought the public wouldn't like it.
That's what he said. So no baby. The house where Dave and I were living... You know, Gene Harlow's husband killed himself there. He's been giving me ideas.
Judy, maybe you better go get some sleep before this broadcast, huh?
Even the pills don't make me sleep now. I'm scared.
We're all scared, kid. It's the human condition.
Here we are, two very bewildered people. Here we are, two babes that are lost in the woods.
Oh, Roger, I'm so tired. No one has ever been as tired as I am.
Oh, yes, they have, Judy.
You?
I have a life, too, Judy, in case you hadn't noticed.
Do you? I've often wondered. Somebody told me you'd been married once. Somebody else said you were a pansy.
Hey.
Well, whatever it is, it's your life.
Not any longer, Judy.
What do you mean?
I stayed up all last night, Judy, writing special material for you. For the broadcast. And you can't even be bothered to look at it. If you do glance at it, all I'll get is, okay, this'll do. And if you want something before the radio show, it'll be all, Roger, I'm so nervous, get me a bottle of champagne. Or, Roger, make sure I can see you when I'm singing, it gives me courage. And the moment the show is over, you'll be brushing past me in the passage with a careless hi, if I'm lucky. Or more likely no greeting at all, because you'll be heading straight for your latest capture, who'll be waiting for you in your dressing room. Seen it all before, Judy. I'm about as important to you as the man who comes to empty your garbage can.
I can't stand all this self-pity. You don't own me. You have no right over me. God, you call me selfish. Look what you've all done for me. Just let me alone. I want to be me.
So do I. God, so do I. And you never let me be. You never let me off the hook for 1 minute. So I can just be myself. 1 minute you're leaning on me and I feel the most important person in the world. I'm the happiest. The next you make me feel smaller and more despised than I would ever have thought possible. Gee.
Hell with you. I can't be spread so thin. I am just one person. I don't want to be rolled out like pastry so you and everyone else can have a nice big bite out of me. I belong to me, and I can do whatever I damn well please. So shut up! Oh, I've hurt the old man's feelings. I'm sorry, Roger. I didn't mean it.
It's all right. I'm used to it.
Oh, Christ. Don't pull that nobler-than-thou shit on me. I've said I'm sorry, and now, for God's sake, forget all about it.
Okay, just give me a minute, and I'll think of something clever to say.
Oh, you usually do. That's your problem. Clever, clever, clever. That's you.
Isn't that why you go on using me?
Roger, if you feel the way you feel, why do you stick around for more punishment? Why do you go on?
Why do you think?
Oh, I see. The usual explanation. Roger, I'm disappointed in you at your age.
No, Judy, that's not it. I'm not so goddamn dumb as to go chasing after you. Nothing that could happen between you and me as people could be half so great as the music we make together.
Art beats life. Oh, stop it.
Judy, the people who get intimate with you, have affairs with you, they don't get the real you. I get the real you when I write for you and you perform it. I don't need all that other stuff.
You don't?
Well, if I did, I sure as hell wouldn't tell you about it. Oh, come on, Judy. It's 5:30. The broadcast starts at 9. The band will be here soon. I have to tell them what numbers we're doing.
Oh, you decide. Just don't give me any crap to do.
You really don't care what you sing?
Not me, brother. See ya.
You can come in, whoever you are.
Are you Roger Eden?
Yeah.
Oh, thank Christ, I found you. The hotel people didn't know where the hell you were.
How do you do, Mr.
Breckner. Gary Breckner's the name. I'm the MC for the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like I'm the goddamn producer, too, after what's happened.
So what's up?
Oh, it's what's down. I goddamn landslip on the road up to this godforsaken mountaintop. What a place to put a hotel.
A landslip? Anybody killed?
Well, not so far as I know, but the road's impassable, so they can't get through.
Well, who can't? The producer?
Yeah, him, but Whiteman and the boys are stuck down there, too.
The whole orchestra?
Well, some of them got through on an earlier bus, the Brass and Reed guys.
Uh-huh.
But the Strings and Whiteman haven't got a hope.
Well, isn't there another road?
No, sir. I mean, how the hell are we going to manage?
It's okay. Now, take it easy. I have a whole pile of Judy's orchestrations. And if there's any musicians here at all, well, that's fine. We can put a band together.
Oh, well, you better get a move on. There's only 90 minutes to transmission.
I better have Judy rehearse with us.
Well, I hope you know where she is.
Oh, she's in her room. Our reception caller, they'll dig her out.
Her room hasn't been touched.
What?
She never even picked up the key. She's just vanished.
Uh-oh.
I mean, what the hell are we going to do about it? Only half a band and no Judy. I mean, this is ridiculous.
I guess she'll show. She's a trooper when it comes down to it. And isn't there anyone else in the broadcast?
Frank Morgan is the guest comedian.
That old soap?
Exactly. Right at this minute, he's engaged in making sure the hotel bar counter doesn't fall down.
Well, you better scoop him up and inform him that he's about to become the holder of the world record for stand-up comedy on live radio.
And you get out of that towel and into your dinner suit and get that band tuned up and rehearsed, and we've got to find Judy!
Okay, fellas, thanks. That'll be fine. Just remember, play any string cues written in your parts and watch me carefully, because Miss Garland is inclined to bend the tempo now and then, all right?
2 minutes. We have 2 minutes to transition.
Is she here yet?
Does it look as if she is?
Christ, we'll have to cancel the broadcast. We can't do it without her.
Yes, we can. Look who's coming.
Howdy, boys. All ready for the great event?
Well, I hope you are, Mr. Morgan.
Ready for anything.
Mr. Morgan, we have an audience. No hip flask, please.
Well, just as you say.
Oh, Jesus, he's going again. You could fetch him back.
We don't need him in the first number.
No, but we need a singer.
1 minute. We have 1 minute.
Look, we can't go ahead.
Quiet, please.
Call the studio and tell them to fill with records. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to say that Miss Judy Garland is indisposed and will not be able to proceed with tonight's...
Oh, dear fellas, we've just been taking a little air down by the lake, haven't we, darling?
Uh-huh. We've got plenty of air here, Judy, and we're going on in a few seconds. Who's your pal?
Roger, you never listen. Didn't I tell you I was in love?
Absolute quiet.
Oh, yeah, I was forgetting. Mr. Real Thing at last, huh? But he looks just like all the others. Does he have a name, or do you just whistle for him?
Oh, you think you're so funny. Hi, everyone. This is my new friend, Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Miss Garland, this is very unprofessional behavior. Here's your script.
And who the hell are you?
Quiet, please.
You sit there, Jerry, darling, right by the piano. Then I can see you when I'm singing.
Okay, Jude, sweetie.
He's not sitting there, Judy. He's not sitting anywhere on stage. Would you mind moving, please?
I don't take orders.
What's he done to your face, Judy? Where did you get that bruise and those scratches?
10 seconds.
Blow me a good luck kiss, Jerry, darling.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Philco Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer, presents your Radio Hall of Fame. The stars made great by your recognition of their achievements are brought to you by Philco Corporation. Makers today of radar and electronic equipment to help win the war. Makers tomorrow of products for good living in a world of peace. I'm Gary Breckner, and the star in Hall of Fame this week was cradled in show business. Her parents owned theaters in Minnesota and California, and when a child, she sang in them. She was nurtured in vaudeville, and she graduated into motion pictures, where her charm, acting ability, and singing soon established her as a star. A few years ago, she won a Special Academy Award for her work in The Wizard of Oz. And since then, she has introduced some of the screen's biggest song hits. So no wonder that on a program which honors superlative performers in the field of entertainment, you honor a unique product of that field. Shortly to be Life Magazine's cover girl, Judy Garland.
Good morning, good morning. We dance the whole night through. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning to you. When the band began to play, the stars were shining bright. Now the moonman's on his way. It's too late to say goodnight. So good morning, good morning. Sun beams will soon pass through. Good morning, my darling.
Here we are together, a couple of stayer-uppers. Our day is done at breakfast time. We start it with our suppers. Here we are together, but the best of friends must part, dear. So let me sing this parting song from the bottom of my heart, dear. Good morning.
It's a lovely morning.
Good morning.
What a wonderful day.
Dance the whole night through. Good morning, good morning.
Do you do 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 do?
I said good morning.
See the sun is shining.
Good morning.
Everybody say it's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
When the band began to play, the stars were shining bright. Now the milkman's on his way. It's too late to say goodnight.
Good morning. Good morning.
Sunbeams will soon smile through.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, my darling. To you. That was Little Judy Garland with myself, Gary Brechner, brushing the dust off a charming number that Judy sang with Mickey Rooney in that box office smash a few years ago, Babes in Arms. Isn't that right, Judy?
Sure is, Mr. Brechner.
Oh, Judy, I reckon you're almost old enough now to call me Gary.
If you say so. But it isn't a good morning, Gary. It's a lovely starlit evening.
Yes, and you're the loveliest of the stars, Judy.
Why, thank you. But shouldn't we be telling the radio audience where this week's Hall of Fame is coming from?
Yes, indeed. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Arrowhead Springs Hotel, high in the mountains overlooking the city of Los Angeles. Tonight's Hall of Fame represents a cooperation between Philco Corporation and the new management of Arrowhead Springs. And tonight's hotel opening has all the color and glamour of a big Hollywood premiere, with stars of screen and radio on hand to enjoy the fun and relaxation afforded here at world-famous Arrowhead Springs, where the bright stars of Hollywood meet the twinkling stars of the night.
I'm fine, honey. When's this guy going to cut the crap and let you sing again?
Judy, get back to the mic. You got a line coming up.
I don't take orders from you.
Judy, you're lying.
Oh.
Arrowhead Springs, where the trap pools are so well stocked, Judy, that,
Yeah, that the fish hold amateur shows to see who gets the hook. Who wrote this infantile garbage?
It's time for another song, Judy. And I believe this one is from your forthcoming Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer motion picture.
Sure is, Gary. The picture is called Meet Me in St. Louis. We're shooting it at this present time, and I know everyone is simply going to love it. From Meet Me in St. Louis, then here's my serenade to the boy next door. The moment I saw him smile, I knew he was just my only regret is we've never met. Oh, I dream of him all the while, but he doesn't know.
For me, won't it fly?
adore him. So I can't ignore him, the boy next
Dreaming of the boy next door. And, Judy, I bet we can guess who's causing that little heart of yours to go pit-a-pat.
That's right. He's sitting right here.
Script. Stick to the script.
You can, Gary. Has somebody been gossiping?
Well, I guess that wasn't necessary, Judy, because we've all been watching your romance with that little Mickey Rooney gradually blossoming in all those pictures you've been making with him.
Well, it's true that Mickey and I have been holding hands in the moonlight now and then when it was a especially big moon. But, Gary, I don't know how to tell you this.
You go ahead, little Judy.
Well, in my new movie, Meet Me in St. Louis, there's a boy called Tom Drake, and he plays, well, my special friend. And I don't know how to tell Mickey this, but...
Tom Drake is your new crush?
Yes, Tom Drake is my new crush.
Well, I won't tell Mickey. But, Judy, do you like the food here at Arrowhead Springs Hotel? Reopened under entirely new management?
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
Script.
Oh, I've lost my place. Oh.
The lemon meringue pie, huh? I bet a little girl like you loves lemon meringue pie, Judy.
Can't stand it.
Number 22, Judy.
Oh, yeah, got it. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except the chef here at Arrowhead Springs Hotel, and he's stirring up the most delicious lemon meringue pie. So I'm off to try some. See you later.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Judy. Before you head off for that pie, I hope you're going to join us in a new routine that Roger Eaton's especially written for this broadcast. Miss Garland plays the role of an attractive young schoolteacher. Her pupils are played by myself, Roger Eaton's, and in a special guest appearance on the Hall of Fame, Judy's old friend from The Wizard of Oz, the wizard himself, Frank Morgan.
Thank you, everyone, and howdy.
Howdy, Judy.
Why, Frank, you sexy old son of a bitch.
All right, everyone, let's go to school.
School days, school days, dear old golden rule days.
Rah, 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 rah.
Class, class, please come to order and no procrastination. For as sure as you live, I'm going to give your entrance examination. Mr. Breckner?
Yes, teacher?
Now, you may be at the head of the class in Latin and Greek.
I sure am.
Uh-huh. But in the dark, on a bench in the park, have you any technique?
I guess I missed that lesson.
Mr. Eden?
Uh-huh.
In adding a column of figures, you may be a fast one. And you may know how to spell, but can you count one?
Well, I was sick that day, teacher.
Well, Mr. Morgan.
Oh, here I am.
In affairs of the world, you may be frightfully smart.
Oh, yes. In 1492, Marie Antoinette said, "Shoot if you must, this old gray head."
But what do you know when it comes to the affairs of the heart?
Well, I always know when I'm in love.
How?
Because I feel terrible.
Not me, Buster. I feel great. Could you pass in love with a certain one beside you? Could you pass in love? Would you need a book to guide you on lovely nights when the lights are low? Then would you know just what to do, what you got to do? Could you pass in love? How was your romantic knowledge? Could you pass in love? If you can't, why go to college? You may know astronomy from A to Z, but how? Oh, when there's a moon above, could you pass in love? Mr. Brecker, can you tell me who's the goddess of love?
Juno?
No, 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 no.
Sappho?
No, 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 no.
Cleo?
No, you stupid boy. The goddess of love is Myrna Loy. Mr. Roger Eaton, since you're not too stupid, will you tell the class all about little Dan Cupid?
Well, I don't know, but I think he was the kid that had a bow. I don't know if it's true, but I've heard it said. He even shot an apple from his papa's head.
You members of my class are very bad. Of course, no names are mentioned. Now, Mr. Morgan, you're a very smart man. Give love the third declension.
A mo, a mass, a mort. I'm really on a spot. The clock strikes one, away I run. A mo, a mass, a mort.
At romance, all you boys are punk. And in your test on love, you flunk. As far as I'm concerned, I think you're loony. You ought to take a lesson from Mickey Rooney.
L is for the lion out at Metro.
O is for the onion cat I know.
V is for the violets in the valley.
E is for the eggs the people throw.
Oh, let's put all the books upon the shelf and go and find out for ourselves. Could you pass in love? Multiply a kiss by two, dear. Could you pass in love? And divide a rendezvous, dear. You may know your geography from A to Z, but oh.
Garland was joined by Frank Morgan, Roger Edens, and myself, Gary Breckner. The Radio Hall of Fame, tonight coming to you from Arrowhead Springs Hotel, favorite leisure resort of the stars, will be returning to you after we break to hear a message from our sponsors, Philco Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer. Back in a few minutes, folks.
Somebody get me a drink.
We're only getting 90 seconds. Judy, stick with that script, or I will personally see to it that CBS never hires you for a radio show again.
Do you want to know where you can put that script, Harry? Or whatever your name is? Roger, I thought you promised me no crap.
They took it out of my hands.
Oh, I should know better than to trust you. And did you write that schoolroom garbage? For Christ's sake, let me grow up.
Hey, I thought you were in a good mood tonight.
Listen, Buster, there is someone sitting here who I want to love and respect me. Jerry, wasn't it garbage?
It was garbage.
I'm sorry. I may be completely mistaken, but I was under the impression that you spoke.
Sure, I spoke. I said it was garbage.
Okay, well, now we've got that straightened up. Would you be so kind as to tell me why this is any of your goddamn business,
huh? I'll tell you why it's his business. He's my manager.
He's your what?
Mister, you really are hard of hearing. The lady said I'm her manager.
Has come tonight. He's really going to rebuild my career, Roger.
Oh, God.
Get me away from all this crap and get me some really good material.
You...
I need someone to look after me, Roger, and Jerry's the answer to my prayer.
That's right. And under my management, mister, she won't be needing you no more.
You're telling me.
Okay, I get the message. It's about time you got the message that a manager doesn't hang around the stage. His place is out of sight. Get your hands off me.
You bastard, Roger, don't touch me.
I said get out of here. Oh, thank you.
Right, go ahead. Let's go out of here. Call the police and somebody. Get this man out of here.
Get him out of here.
No, don't
touch me. Okay, mister, we'll deal with him. Are you all right?
We have 5 seconds.
And welcome back to the Radio Hall of Fame. Time to ride that trolley, Judy.
With my high starched collar and my high top shoes and my hair piled high upon my head, I went to lose a jolly hour on the trolley and lost my heart instead. With his light brown derby and his bright green tie, he was quite the handsomest of men. I started to yen, so I counted to 10, then I counted to 10 again. Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Ding, ding, ding went my heartstrings. For the moment I saw him, I fell. Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Bump, bump, bump went the brakes. Thump, thump, thump went my heartstrings. When he smiled, I could feel the car shake. He tipped his hat and took a seat. He said he hoped he hadn't stepped upon my feet. He asked my name, I held my breath. I couldn't speak because he scared me half to death. Buzz, buzz, buzz went the buzzer. Plop, plop, plop went the wheel. Stop, stop, stop went my heartstrings. He started to go, then I started to know how it feels when the universe went the buzzer. Plop, plop, plop went the wheel. Stop, stop, stop went my heartstrings. And he started to leave. I took hold of his sleeve with my hand. And as if it was left, he stayed on with me. And it was grand to stand with his hand having mine till the end of the line.
Why, Judy, that was fabulous. I just can't wait to see that picture of yours.
Why, thanks, Mr. Morgan, or can I call you Frank?
Sure you can, Judy, though I feel I really want to call you Little Dorothy. Why, it feels like only yesterday since you and I were having our wonderful adventures in Oz together.
Sure does, Frank. And my, what adventures they were with that old cowardly lion and that comical scarecrow and the rusty fellow who was made entirely of tin.
That's right, little Judy. And there were some fine songs in that movie. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we weren't going to sing one right now.
No. I don't think we'll do that.
That's right, Frank. Little Judy here is going to lead us in the singing of one of the songs from that fine motion picture.
Well, Harry, that's what you think, but it's not what I think.
It's a song most of you folks listening out there won't even know, because it was dropped from The Wizard of Oz before the picture was released. Isn't that right, Frank?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
All right, Harry.
Jerry.
But I need a bit of help to sing this.
Oh, we have plenty of help for you, haven't we, Frank?
Huh? Oh, yeah, you bet.
Frank and I are going to sing it with you.
Okay, you do that. But I'm going to have someone else sing it with us. Someone very special to me.
Oh, God.
A very good friend of mine who I want to introduce to you all. Ladies and gentlemen, my new manager, my fiancé, Mr. Jerry Hannigan. Come on, Jerry.
He's not here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Jitterbug.
Who's that hiding in the tree top? Is that rascal, the Jitterbug? Should you catch him buzzing round you, keep away from the Jitterbug.
Oh, the bats and the bees and the breeze in the trees have a terrible, horrible buzz.
But the bats and the bees and the breeze in the trees couldn't do what the Jitterbug does.
So be careful of that rascal. Keep away from the Jitterbug.
Oh, the jitter. Oh, the bug.
Oh, the jitter.
Jitterbug, jitterbug, jitterbug. In a twitter. In the throes.
All the critters.
Got me dancing on a thousand toes. There she blows!
Where is Jerry? If you call the police, I'm walking out of this broadcast and never coming back.
There's no police, Judy. He just went.
Well, the bats and the bees and freeze in the trees have a terrible, horrible buzz.
But the bats and the bees and the breeze in the trees couldn't do what the jitterbug does.
So be careful of that rascal. Keep away from the jitterbug.
That was Judy Garland with myself, Gary Breckner, and good old Frank Morgan, the Wizard of Oz himself, all getting bitten by that old jitterbug. And once again, the Radio Hall of Fame returns you to the studio for another word from our sponsors. With you again shortly, folks.
What do you mean he's not here?
This waiter will tell you.
Ma'am, we didn't need to call the police. He just went. With the lady.
Lady?
The broad. The lady he came with tonight.
But he came to see me.
Oh, no doubt, ma'am. But he came with a lady. She was waiting for him in the lounge.
Oh.
They went off in a car. A pretty smart car, too.
Judy,
are you okay?
Do you know what you've done?
Judy, I haven't done anything.
You screwed up the only good thing that ever happened to me.
I didn't mean to do that, Judy. He was no good, kid. He was going to...
Get out! Get out!
Judy, I didn't want to hurt you. You know, that's the last thing in my life I'd ever want to do. Judy. Judy.
Get me a drink.
We have some iced water here, ma'am.
Thank you.
Oh,
how careless of me. But I'll pick up the pieces.
I'll do it, ma'am.
Judy, I'm so sorry.
I'll pick up the pieces. I go on picking up the pieces all the time, don't I, Roger? When a shit like you screw up my life, when you break the one thing I care about, I pick up the pieces and I start again. But not this time.
Oh, Christ!
Oh,
stop!
My God!
She's cut her throat!
Judy.
We need a doctor!
Come on!
Call the ambulance! Run, you fool!
Okay!
Use this tablecloth.
Yeah, let me see. I was the first aider in my army days.
What?
Let's have a look, little lady.
That's all right.
It's just a big nasty scratch.
Coming back to you in 90 seconds.
Tear some of the tablecloth off.
Yeah,
we can make a bandage.
Here. Did she make a habit of this?
Is she going to be all right?
I reckon so.
Oh, thank God. It's the first time I've known her to do it like that. Usually she just takes too many uppers and downers.
So the Wonder Boy wasn't serious about her at all. I'm just out for an evening's fun.
Poor little kid. That's a whole world at you. So why does she always head straight for the bastards?
1 minute.
Judy, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right.
Oh, of course I'm going to be all right. Who says I cut my throat? That glass just slipped while I was picking it up. You tell this crummy hotel I'm suing for what their glass did to my throat. God, I hate this place. First my mother, and now me.
I'm going to go look for the ambulance.
Oh, for Christ's sake, stay where you are, Frank. We're going to need you.
Okay. He's just another drifter, Judy. You forget him, huh? Stick with the ones who really love you.
A man is a two-faced, a worrisome thing, leave you to sing the blues in the night.
Oh, Judy, you're the greatest. You're the greatest in the whole world. You don't need to do this to yourself.
And do you know why I'm the greatest, Roger? It was you who told me what Georgie Jessel said. A woman with a heart that's been hurt. It has to be hurt, Roger. So I can sing like this.
You mocked me when I said that art was more important than life.
It isn't. Art is life, Roger. You can't separate the two. It's you that's the in-between, Roger, not me. You dabble in a little bit of art and a little bit of life, but you hold back from them both because you don't want to get hurt.
I'm hurt, Judy. I'm hurt all the time. By you, Judy. By you.
You are?
Yeah.
Then sing about it, you caged canary. Sing. Make great art out of it.
5 seconds.
Sing, Buster. Sing.
And welcome back to Arrowhead Springs Hotel for the final segment of this week's Radio Hall of Fame. And now, Frank Morgan is going to tell us a seasonal tale of Christmas.
I am?
It was Christmas Day in the workhouse, and since the early morning...
Wait a minute, Frank. What about letting tonight's guest star put a word in?
Judy, you just stay where you are till the ambulance comes. Leave her. She knows what she's doing.
Yes. I've got one more little offering for you, and it's a song which I think you'll all know. But however familiar the words may be, listen carefully to them, everyone, because they mean a lot to me.
You don't see. The critical answer is a fool, right?
This one is for everyone who, well, who thought everything was going to turn out fine, and it didn't. Everyone who was so foolish as to dream a dream, and then had to live through it not coming true. And I guess that means all of us, doesn't it, Roger? Give me an A, boys, will you? Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I've heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Oh, lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me.
Marking the reopening of Arrowhead Springs Hotel, featured Frank Morgan, courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and myself, Gary Breckner. The orchestra was conducted by Roger Edens. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System, and tonight's special edition starred Judy Garland.
Judy, you're astonishing. I'm sorry we won't be working together again.
Oh, who says we won't?
You were going to fire me.
And so I should. Did you know you played a wrong note in the bridge?
Hmm.
Oh, I'll want you around for a while yet.
You will?
Yeah. I need some special material for a concert I'm doing in L.A. next week. I thought a medley from Meet Me in St. Louis would be a good idea. But don't just string the studio orchestrations together. I want some fresh arrangements, and I need them in a couple of days so I can rehearse. I always like to rehearse properly.
If you say so, Judy.
And now, friends, I could use that ambulance.
Look, I'll take your arm.
Give me the other one.
No, I can manage.
Okay.
Come along, Judy, darling.
Gary, you're so sweet.
I'll get to the door.
Isn't she wonderful?
Yeah, that and a good many other things. Now, friend, I think I need a large drink. The largest whiskey on the rocks this establishment can run to.
Sure thing, mister.
Oh, and tell him to leave the piano right where it is, huh? I've got a long night's work in front of me.
Mister.
Huh?
You're not going to go on letting him give you orders like that.
Huh?
Well, why don't you forget about it and write your own material? Your own songs.
Yeah. Maybe something about a caged canary.
Huh?
But not tonight. There's too much to be done for her. Now, you go and get that drink, huh?
Okay.
Yeah. It could start like this.
In Over the Rainbow, Roger Edens was played by Ed Bishop and Judy Garland by Sasha Pick. Breckner was Peter Whitman, Morgan, Matt Zimmerman, Jerry, Lewis Hancock, and the waiter, Simon Fielder. The music was performed by Vile Bodies with musical director Colin Good. Over the Rainbow was written by Humphrey Carpenter and directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.